You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning, good morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. I have put you on my prayer list, all of you people going eastbound on I-10, sitting there in Tucson's biggest parking lot. So be patient. We'll try to keep it as entertaining as possible as you're sitting in that traffic.
Looks like it's restricted, so it may be partly open at this point, but the backup is still quite there.
Well, hang just like that bad poster with the cat hanging off the branch, hang in there, as they used to say.
Correct.
You're on Wake Up Tucson. If you missed anything, go to KVOI.com. That's where all of our greatest hits, worst flubs, it's all out there. Check it out. It's also the Tucson History of Radio podcast. Greg has that amazing History of Something Crashes into Something in Tucson podcast. It's all there at KVOI.com. And we've had a couple of really good different people coming in who are running for office. We kicked off the new year with Mona Gibson running for AmFi School Board. We had Luis Pozzolo running for Congress against a very weird human being named Raul Grijalva. And so we're going to continue our candidate profile series or some crap like that. It sounds cool. With Anna Orth, she is running for LD-17 House of Representatives, State of Arizona. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And you got around the traffic this morning. Good job.
It was a challenge, but I mean, it's backed up all the way around.
I was a little worried because you're a Northwest lady, and I gave you a, hey, you should take I-10 of Palo Verde North, and that's of course the nexus of woe right now.
Exactly. Yeah, I had to take little back roads to get in here.
So the new LD 17 district. So I got to keep educating myself and the listeners.
Right.
Give us the geography of LD 17 roughly.
Okay. Well, LD 17 is a collection of a couple of the LDs in Tucson. LD 11 is the main portion of LD 17, which if people already lived in LD 11, which is the north side of Tucson, Oro Valley, Dove Mountain, Saddlebrook, Marana, all of that stayed intact. The only change is that we have picked up East Tucson and a portion of Vail.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a little broad, but that's really what happened. So portion of LD 10 and I think 14 became a part of our LD.
Okay.
So.
And this is the first time you've run for office?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And where's Anna Orth from originally?
Anna is from Tucson.
Look at you.
I am a fourth generation Tucsonan. So my family's been here before it was a state, and we have been through all of the good and bad legislation that has happened. You know, I've seen all the changes on Oracle Road, and we've been the recipient of the things, the decisions that people have made here. But I lived here all my life. I left after college for a few years.
What was your elementary, high school? Where did you go to school?
I was a part of the Tucson Unified School District.
Yep.
And at that time, they had an accelerated program that they had set up for accelerated learning, and I was in the Pioneer group.
Look at you.
So I went to different schools. I started at Tully Elementary, then went to Vail Junior High, which is on the east side of town.
Just.
And then would have gone to an east side school, Sabino, but continued on with this accelerated program, which was held at Tucson High.
Oh, look at you.
So I went to Tucson High, graduated early, and then went on to college.
U of A?
Mm-hmm. U of A.
What'd you study at the university?
I started out as a business management major.
Okay.
And actually, I had gone in as a biochemistry major, but right away, you know, med school was what I had hoped to start with, and then college happened, and fun started happening. So,
are you saying you couldn't have fun and concentrate on a biochem degree at the same time?
Yes, actually, it was.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yes, it was the one class. I think it was when I had to work with cadavers. The smell of things was just too much for me, and thought I need to find a different major. So, anyway, it turned out to be the way it should be because I've really enjoyed my life as I graduated with a business degree and went on to work in corporate America. And
give us a rundown of corporate America.
Well, okay. You mean for my own life?
Yeah, in your career.
Okay, in my career, I worked selling IBM Selectrix.
Look at that.
I don't want you to ask me this question because yes, cars were still invented. But I worked in the marketing department, sold IBM Selectrix and word processors, and then continued on and worked for a company owned by the Times Mirror Corporation. And then I came back and I worked in LA along with them, and I worked for the Southwestern Publishing Company. I traveled along the Southwest and took care of their markets along California, Texas, and Arizona. And every opportunity always leads to a new one. And so at that point, I decided that at 25, I wanted to own my own business.
Look at you.
And, you know, my family has owned many businesses. And so I thought, well, you know, it's kind of in my blood. So
what's a local business we would know the Orth family for?
Oh, well, they were ranchers, farmers,
gotcha. You know,
insurance, restaurant.
Gotcha. Name a restaurant.
Service business. Let's see. I had a cousin who owned La Carichimaca.
Oh, okay, sure. Over on the south west side of town.
Right. But I decided to open up my business at 25 and had 12 employees by the university.
What'd you do?
And I sold beachwear.
Interesting.
I was volleyball equipment and beachwear, and had that for about 7-8 years.
Where was that at?
Right on Park and University in the old Marshall Foundation Center.
Oh, okay.
Underneath the stairs.
Made you think, you know, what was the niche you saw for there's nothing, no one selling such cool things for the girls at the University of Arizona?
Actually, as I said, one thing led to another, and I was needing it for the company that I worked with. I needed an incentive, and I thought this might be a really great way to promote what we're doing and offer incentives. And so I connected myself with vendors and found that other people outside of my work environment were asking for what I had to offer. So it just fell into place. I had a client that was nearby, and I saw that the space was open, and I went and decided this is what I want to do, and got a loan at the bank to start my business. And
look at that.
Paid it off within 9 months. It was a very successful endeavor at the time, but you learn. I mean, nothing was smooth about it. But
what was the name of the shop?
It was called Court and Sand.
Court and Sand. Love it. All right, let's go to break, Matt Neely, 790-2040. We'll find out a little bit more about Anna Orth, and then we'll go to the key question of why now in relation to running for office. And then we'll talk about stuff that she would like to accomplish if she gets into office. So if you have a question or comment, 790-2040. Anna, what's the website for the campaign?
It's www.orth4azrep.com.
Orth4azrep.com.
Right.
All right. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Christy Simone, Anna Orth, ESQ, spinning the tunes. Wake up. Good morning. It's a wolf moon kind of Tuesday out there. Very bright out there. And a little howling wolf. Very appropriate. Love it. Listener Luke wanted to know about, he said LD17, are these new election district maps finalized? Well, they're getting there. I assume we'll be sued by the Biden administration before it's all over. It'd be like one of those things where right as they get in the Washington, sued. Thank you. And I'm sure we'll have the mayor calling everyone racist for the maps.
Right.
We'll Mayor, why can't we get the roads fixed? Racist. Oh, well, thank you. Hey, we're hanging out with Anna Orth, and she is running for State House of Representatives in the new LD 17, soon to be finalized after we get sued by the Biden administration, but we'll make it before it's all over. We're going to make it after all. A little Mary Tyler Moore for you there. So, Anna, we were just talking about, you know, you said you're someone who, you got your business management degree from the U of A. You worked at a various kind of some really good jobs. Then you came back to Tucson and you started a business.
Right.
Doing your court and sand. I heard you were neighbors with someone's missus over there, which
yes.
is
yes.
in the old days, Mrs. ESQ. So that's a fun little fact, as we like to say. Actually, Sergio just said possibly approved maps today.
Yep, today's the 18th, right? So yes, should be approved.
We shall see. So Anna, as you're moving through in life, give us a quick rundown of the career, and then I want to get to why you say I'm going to run for office.
All right. Well, obviously, I've moved on from then and sold a name, went on to. I got married, raised my children, and while I was raising my children, I was a part of another company that had me developing a team of people that marketed a nutrition skincare line, and I managed, by the time I ended, I worked with them for about 26 years while I was raising my children.
Wow.
And developed a team of over 3,600 people in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, and even in Australia. And I left at the time because my children were at an age where in order for me to be more successful in my business, once you grow to a certain point, you really need to travel quite a bit. And my children were at an age where I needed to be home with them.
Sure.
And so I went back and got my master's because I just felt that at that time, people were asking me to help them with business plans and mediation. I was already a certified mediator, so I was working with people and in that respect. And so I went back to get my master's in organizational development or IO psychology. And
Look
so I have been working as an organizational behavior consultant.
Well, we could use you in this town.
yep.
What's the one or two big things you've learned? What's the reality when you, as a mediator?
Yes.
Right. And whether it's person going in the mediation, what's the big lessons Anna Orth learned being a mediator?
What I learned is that the whole concept I knew before going in is that if you really want to accomplish anything, you really have to listen to every side of the story and really help to make people feel heard and try to lay out the situation so that each side understands what it is that they're actually arguing about. Sometimes people don't realize what they're fighting about because they already believe one side thinks a certain way when the other side thinks a different way. So there's just the communication is broken in problematic situations, relations. And mediation allows both sides to be able to see the other side and come to a consensus of what will work for both sides. Not everybody always wins equally, but there is an understanding of why you're compromising. And
so the number one thing is, the end, is that they're fighting over something, but your job in the beginning is to clarify and educate mm-hmm. on what we're really doing here.
Yes, absolutely. That's
exactly it's like a couple right. who gets in a fight over, like, I don't know, something stupid, but there's deeper things on what they're really fighting about.
Absolutely. And when you have an opportunity to talk about those things and give them each a chance to express what it is that they're concerned about, then the real issue comes out. And so many times in as I said, these problematic relationships, there's a lack of communication between what the real problem is. And everyone just focuses on the surface issues, and nothing has ever really accomplished the way it should. And so I can provide what we do is we provide an opportunity to really get to the nitty-gritty of things.
What part of the district do you live in, roughly?
I live in the original LD 11 portion.
Okay.
In Oro Valley.
The Valley of Gold, my hometown. Now, tell me about the decision.
Okay. So
running for office.
Yes, absolutely. I have had a wonderful life, as I've explained, in building my my own success, helping my children grow, raising my family, and enjoying my life. And so I always was fine leaving politics to someone else who wanted to do that. I've been happy to volunteer my time and my effort and my money to organizations that could use it. And I think it's important to work in public service in some way, to offer, you know, volunteer and offer your services in any way you can to those who might need it.
Sure.
But politics was never something that I wanted to do. And it wasn't until recently, the November 3rd, 2020, that changed my perspective on how it's really important that those that can need to step up and make a difference. I mean, we have enjoyed the American way of life without really understanding what it means. And in that time, we've given power to other people to govern for us. But in many ways, we've slowly eroded the government by the people for the people. And so it was on November 3rd, 2020, that after the election, I had volunteered to be a poll observer, and I worked at the polls as well, and saw firsthand the corruption, the deceit, and the mismanagement of our election process.
So we have about 30 seconds. Let's hold on. I want to hear more about that when we come back, and then we'll talk to Anna about what she hopes to accomplish.
Okay.
If she gets it to the Arizona legislature, it's orth4azrep.com. Are you running clean or traditional?
I'm running clean.
Running clean. All right. So she's going to need signatures and $5 donations. So we'll talk about that when we come back. And then, of course, the infamous hard question about your three favorite locally owned restaurants. So everyone gets that question. So,
oh my gosh.
You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Good morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. I think Homer Simpson put it best. Whenever you hear this, it's always a good Southern movie chase scene going on right now. So whenever you hear that banjo going, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. At the top of the hour, I'm going to do a dramatic filling out on the air of the city of Tucson reimagining public safety survey. And you remember when I went through all the Pima County blowing your federal dollars on crap list? It's going to be like that, but maybe even weirder. Weird and wacky and wild, Matt. So 790-2040. If you want to follow along on the interweb, it's Orth, O-R-T-H, number4azrep.com. We're talking to Anna Orth. One day Katie Hobbs might get the online signatures done, but I'm sure that it'll all work out in the end. So, Anna, so when we left the hard break at the bottom of the hour, you said you worked at the polls in 2020.
Yes.
And you found various things that disturbed you.
Yes.
What were some of the things that you observed that disturbed you?
Well, as an observer, prior to the election, I was designated to work in a certain area in observing the ballot openings, but I was not allowed to end up going in that area, so I was put into a different area, and I was put to observe 17 tables with 33 people, and that's virtually impossible, you know,
right,
unless you have eyes all across your head, and the things that I saw that were not supposed to be happening were just, there were too many things. I spoke about it at the Senate hearing in Phoenix with Rudy Giuliani, and I had testified to a lot of those things. So if people are interested in hearing
that, they
can
go back. What's one or two things on the top of the list you found
not too kosher? Well, as an observer, I found that the duplicate ballots, the ballots that should be, that had to be fixed, there was just so many of those that were being sent to a room where there wasn't an observer to watch. I couldn't see what was going on there. And
so they took the duplicate ballots.
Right.
And sent those to another room.
To a different room.
With no observer.
I could not see an observer. And when I would look to try to see over there, there were people who worked there who said, you know, you can't go in that area. You just got to make sure that you just don't, you can't go out. They were very concerned about me going
so
in that room.
You're only, and I thought, you only had partial access.
Yes. And okay. So my concern was that you're very concerned with me looking over there. That in itself was problematic. Then the area where people should not be walking through, that only ballots should come through. We had a lot of the employees that were coming through there. And when I asked about that, I found that they realized that I knew what was going on, and they didn't want me to have any conversation about that, so they moved me over to another area. The other thing I saw is that every table should have had a Republican and a Democrat or someone from both parties. There were employees. For as many people that wanted to help or that could have helped, there was. I was curious why they put the employees from the office. What am I trying to say?
From the Pima County Elections Department.
The Pima County Elections Department office were working in alongside either a Democrat or a Republican, and I found that there were less Republicans in any of those tables. And so, as a Republican, I found that unsavory, and I just wasn't. The biggest thing was that there's no way one of us could watch all of these things that are happening and the
sure.
things that were coming through. But the bigger picture was when I was at the poll, helping at a precinct poll, and there were the markers. I remember having people come up to. I was the provisional ballot clerk, and they're bringing up their ballots, saying, "Oh, it bled through. Is this okay?" And since we weren't given direction on that, this had been my first time, just out of common sense, I knew that it can't possibly be okay. So we changed them out to pens. And I think the person in charge had called the office, the county elections office to verify that. And they said, nope, you can go ahead and use those. So that was disturbing to me. The second thing I saw that was besides the fact that they called the election before we had even finished counting all the ballots, the process that takes place in order to send the ballots in, it had already been called, which means that to a lot of us meant that the votes that came in were disregarded. All of the votes that people voted on that whole day from 6 a.m. until 7 p.m. were never going to be counted. So if our precinct wasn't going to be counted, neither were any of the other precincts, right? Because somewhere the AP had called it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was based on mail-in ballots. And that in itself was problematic because people would come in and say, I was told I voted and I haven't voted. And I want to vote. And at that point, the only way they could would be to give them a provisional ballot.
Right.
And we used up all of our provisional ballots, more than what we had. I had to turn people away and say, I'm sorry, I don't have any more ballots for you. And this was all before the poll closed. The second thing is I had to call the office for every person that had a question about their ballot, I mean about their voting, if they're able to vote. And there was some inconsistencies in the decisions that were made when I had a young man who was at the U of A wanting to vote and was denied the ability to vote because I had to ask first. And it was because he was from Maricopa County. But then I'd have other people come in from out of state who were given permission to me for them to vote. And I started to see this is this is not okay.
Right.
But it was happening so fast. The other, I mean,
sure.
It can go on and on.
It's like drinking from a fire hose.
Yes.
So what was the moment that you said, and we've learned in the last 24 months, right, not mm-hmm. just from election stuff, but lockdown, school choice, school masks, all of the things that are going mm-hmm. on, that the usually not so sexy seats of school boards and state legislature means more than you ever would believe. So right. What was the moment you said, I'm running for office to try to make things better?
Well, the moment was just the culmination of everything that had happened since November 3rd, because I stepped up on November 30th to speak up and turn in an affidavit, and they were calling people. We were all in shock. Everybody who voted realized something's not quite right. This is not quite right. This is not how it happened. So after testifying, I really was involved in helping people understand why we felt there was fraud, because it was being denied, and not only by the media saying that just speaking that it was an opinion that it was stolen out of sour grapes because President Trump had not won the election, which In the eyes of the voters, especially Arizona, we knew that he had won here. There's no way that he didn't. And so it just evolved to the point where I wanted to become more involved in helping people understand what had happened. So I became involved in local politics. I've been a PC and a state committeeman prior to this, but it just that it was important. I think most of us, like you, you come to work every day. You're focused on what you have to do. Most everybody's like that.
Sure.
And they don't have time to worry about things that they feel they can't control. But the more I looked at it, we can control. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Americans, is to help shape the politics that we have.
We've abdicated our role
right.
way too much.
Right, right. And so as that was happening, it's just continually involved. I was helping with some local candidates, and I called Mark Fincham and said, hey, you know, I love that you're running for Secretary of State. I feel that we need someone who has advocated for election integrity, and I want to help. And so I had, after doing a meet and greet with him and collecting signatures for him, I started to just feel in talking to the people around me that with him terming out, we were going to need representation in the very legislative body of Arizona that was the crux of where the breakdown of support that the conservative voter was looking to have. You know, if you're not representing the voter and what their needs and wants are, you know, we can expect that from the far left, from the liberal left, but from our own body, that disturbed me that we didn't have a collective endeavor to support what had happened on November 3rd.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to go to break, and we'll come back and see what, in addition to election and, you know, reform, which seems to be very high on your list, a couple other things that Anna wants to tackle when she gets to the legislature, and, of course, the infamous restaurant question. So
okay.
You're on Wake Up Tucson. She's nervous about this. She's got like 27 of them, and she's got to go down
true.
The three. So
it's true, and I probably know all of them, so I've got to... I'm going to insult 24 of them.
You know what you say? We'll say it's three of your favorite.
Okay, that's better.
Let's call it that.
That's better.
All right. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. All right. Dave Ruffin from The Temptations, his birthday today, 790-2040. We're introducing the Wakeys to Anna Orth. She is running for state representative, House side, LD-17, the new LD-17. And if you have any questions or comments, 790-2040. When we come back at the top of the hour, Chris is going to be reading, doing on air, the Reimagining Public Public Safety Survey from the City of Tucson. And as we say in Hastings, Nebraska, it's a real hoot. Anna, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning.
So, so in relation to common sense election reform, okay, what are one or two things that we need to improve on the election side in Arizona before we get to this next election? What would you like to see done?
Well, I honestly, we need to clean up the voter rolls. There, we need to, and that's, it's so important that we have an ID when people, I don't believe that we should all be on a mail-in ballot system. There's no reason why you can't vote on a day if we have to change it so that it's a national holiday.
So did they pass the Ugenti Rita one that cleaned up the polls? I mean, the voter rolls? Didn't they pass that last year?
Yes.
So it doesn't go far enough?
No, I don't believe it did, because there was no oversight, I think, to make sure that that happened. There was some canvassing that happened, as you know, and just in this last election, they found that you know, a lot of people that voted aren't alive anymore, or they don't even live there, or there's 20-some people at one address, which is not even a home. It's a parking lot. There's just different things that were identified as problematic when it comes to who's on who's on the list to vote and who and what doesn't exist.
How do we bring some justice to mail-in voting? Because even years ago, I think it was the Clinton administration had Jimmy Carter and somebody else do a voting reform thing, and one of the things they said you should never do is mail-in voting. And on a big scale, because that's where most fraud can happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jimmy Carter, kids, not Christy Simone. What do we need to do to tighten up mail-in voting and make it better?
Well, I think it's an on a multi-level process that has to be cleaned up. But primarily, we in order to clean up the voter rolls, you have to follow through. You can make a law or pass policy, but if it's not followed through in the task of actually doing that. And I think that that's where the breakdown was, because we, you know, I think there were over 3,600 bills that were passed into law this last year in 2021. And
well, they're probably introduced. I don't know if they didn't pass all those. So,
well, okay.
That's a lot, a lot.
That were introduced. You're right. You're right. They were introduced, but there were, then maybe there was about 300 that were passed. And in that, you know, we can decide to do something, but if
you're saying there wasn't enough teeth,
isn't implemented, then it really doesn't mean anything. I mean,
what's a non-election issue? What would be a non-election issue getting up to the legislature you'd want to tackle?
Individual autonomy on medical decisions. The fact that these mandates have crossed into areas that are un-American. I mean, it has pretty much, it denies our personal liberty and freedom that we have to be able to make our own choices. You know, here in America, we're pro-choice, pro-life, but we're not pro our own medical decisions. I mean, forcing vaccinations, forcing businesses, small businesses, to implement medical. It's really a medical decision. You know, the owner of a service business has to decide whether someone should be vaccinated or should cover their mouth. Those things are not okay.
Seems to throw HIPAA right out the window.
Absolutely. And so, and I think the worst thing, and I just want to say this, is that we have just allowed this to happen because we're not aware as Americans of our rights. And there's so many times that, and in helping people write their exemptions to say, no, if you don't really believe you should take this vaccine. I'm not anti-vaccine, but if you personally do not want to take this, you should not be forced by, you know, an HR department who's, you know, they're not your doctor.
Well,
they don't know.
The idea that we've taken the issue of the idea of informed consent and it means nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad place. All right, we're going to run out of time. We'll have you back. I need to know three of your favorite locally owned restaurants. This is an important look into your psyche. We ask this of everybody.
All right. Brother John's.
Okay.
Barbecue.
Okay, what do you, you're a brisket pulled pork girl?
Brisket, of course.
He does a good brisket. Yes. I agree with that.
Goitas, hands down, best Mexican food.
So this is in Oral Valley next to Just Kebab across street from Noble Hops.
Yes.
And it's kind of New Mexico Mexican.
Mm-hmm, right.
What do you like getting there?
I love their shredded beef tacos.
Okay.
But nobody should get them because then there may not be any left when I come in. So try everything else.
Your ravenous hunger for them plus supply chain problems,
yes,
there may not be any.
Yes, it could be.
Gotcha.
And so, but just take my word for it. Try something, anything there. It's very good food.
Okay.
And then, you know, just my old standby favorite. I just love, there's nothing like E.G.'s. And it just, E.G.'s, they're.
So what's the go-to at E.G.'s for you?
The pina colada E.G.'s.
Very cool.
That's my favorite.
Frozen sugar water, nothing wrong with that. Tell me about, one more time on the website.
Okay. Orth, number 4, azrep.com.
And there'll be opportunities to see you or arrange house parties or anything like that coming
up? Yes, I would love to meet with people and really let them know what it is that I'd like to do in the legislature, and if I'm honored and privileged to be able to represent them, what I stand for, the things that I believe we need to fix, and how I would like to do that, and why I would be the best option for them for so many reasons that it's too many to list here and talk of in this short time. So.
Well, we'll have you back again. It's a long run here, so
great.
I'm glad
Thank
you came
so
out
much.
For the new year.
I'm glad to be here, and I look forward to coming back.
All right, Anna Orth, running for State of Representatives, State of Arizona, LD-17.
House of Representatives, thank you.
All right, good to see you, young lady. Good
Thanks.
Luck.
Bye-bye.
So again, some of you like, why haven't these other candidates been on or whatever? Just ask. They just have to ask. Because we're like, where's Blake Masters? Blake can come on. Just, they know where to find me. If they don't want to go talk to you, we've done a show for almost 13 years without Blake Masters. We'll live without him. Or Eli Crane, or if they want to come on, I love to talk to them. And if you're a Democrat, we'd love to have you on too. If you're a Democrat running for the House, for Congress, remember, I'm going to ask you a question. What's the largest part of the budget? And when you say the military, I'm going to laugh at you again, but that's about it. So when we come back, Chris is going to do the reimagining public safety survey from the city of Tucson. And it is freaking hilarious. Wake up.